we're in a series called The Heart of the House. The Heart of the House. And we're talking about, what do we value here? Like, what are the things that if you remove this away from Vertical Church, we're no longer who God called us to be? What is so important? Because it's kind of hard to buy into a church if you don't know what they value, what they're all about. So we're going to explain, what do we really value here? And the first thing, or one of our main values, we're going to go through six total, two per week. I believe you can handle two per week. Amen? Amen. Okay, so if you're newer here, I do enjoy when you talk to me. It lets me know you've not fallen asleep, okay? So feel free, say amen, engage with me. We're not going to go terribly long today, but I do believe God's going to speak. So the first value is called kingdom focus. What we value here at Vertical is a kingdom focus. It means our hearts are laser focused on Jesus, fully submitting to his word and desperately seeking a move of God. And it comes from Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 31 says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Amen? And today's trouble is enough for today. Amen? Jesus says, man, today we're going to have trouble. Tomorrow we're going to have trouble. But in the midst of that, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God above all and live right before the Lord, he will give you everything you need. One of the things that we're here is we're laser focused on Jesus. And for some people, it means we are redundant. It means we are basic. It means we're not creative. It's like you guys are passionate about Jesus every Sunday. That's the main focus, every Sunday. And we're like, that's not a mistake. That's what we value here. For example, one of the things, this is going to happen this year. I'm not a prophet, but I'm going to just go ahead and tell you, this is what's going to happen at some point. Someone's going to approach me, and if they're feeling nice that day, they're going to say, Pastor Phil, I love you, which is what everyone says right before they lay it on me. Pastor Phil, I love you, but this is an election year. I don't know if y'all didn't know that or not. It's an election year if you didn't know. And they're going to come in just the nicest way possible. They're just going to tell me, we're not talking about that enough. We're not talking about the candidates enough. We're not talking about the issues enough. And I understand what you're saying. It is an important thing. I will be voting in this election because I don't enjoy spending $18 on a dozen eggs. That's not super fun. I will be voting. But no one has ever come to Vertical Church and had God move in their life, set them free from addictions, restore marriages, take them from death to life spiritually, because they knew how I was voting in an election. Like, if we'll just take a step back, and I understand we're passionate about elections and things like that, but in all honesty, church, like, when will the American church wake up that our hope does not rest in Washington? Like, how many elections and different presidents do we have to cycle through before we'll finally actually go, actually, what we need to do is seek first the kingdom of God above all else. Maybe if we can get there, yes, say amen, we can clap. If we can get there, the craziest thing is what Jesus teaches after that. He says, seek first the kingdom. And we're like, okay, that's above all else. And live right before the Lord. That's kind of difficult, but we'll seek that, Lord. And then he says, I'll give you everything you need. Everything you need. We're not basic, we're not redundant, we're not confused. When we keep seeking Jesus above all and we're laser focused on every single week talking about how Jesus is the hope for the world, how he can set people free. You may be wrestling with the pornography, our depression, our greed, our grief. Jesus, every week, is still the hope. And we're going to be laser focused on that. And that means we may not talk about some of the things you want us to talk about. But it's because every week we have a belief that seek first the kingdom of God above all else. Live right before the Lord, and he'll give us everything we need. We're going to live and die on a belief that the word of God still applies to our life. And it may mean we come across really basic or really redundant, or we're avoiding the issues, is one of the things I like to hear from people. We're just avoiding the issues. And I'm like, no, we're avoiding none of the issues. They don't become issues, though, when we give our life to Jesus. And so that's where our focus is going to be. We're going to have a kingdom focus. Man, when we lose focus as humans, does it not create dysfunction? When we lose focus, does it not cause division or chaos. Maybe in a relationship you're in right now, if y'all get your focus off Jesus, you may end up in some trouble. It may cause some division, some chaos. And you might start wondering, how did we even get here? And maybe it was worries about money. Got you distracted from seeking first the kingdom as a couple. Maybe in a church, things were going great at that church for a while. And then all of a sudden, the focus somehow didn't end up on Jesus, and there was division, and there was chaos. Because there's a unity that can happen when people come together and say, above all else, what we agree on is we're going to seek first the kingdom. There's a unity that can exist there. We may not agree on every nuance of interpretation in scriptures. I'm sure if we went Genesis to Revelation, you'll find something you may not agree with me on. But when it's seek first the kingdom together, then there's unity and we can move forward. Because when we seek first the kingdom and live right before the Lord, God will give this church everything we need. He'll give our church everything we need if we'll seek first the kingdom, if we'll live right before the Lord. Look at these verses, Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Somebody say amen. Amen. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Vertical Church does not initiate or perfect our faith. Pastor Phil does not initiate and perfect our faith. It's our champion, Jesus Christ, who does that. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. People, when they say we're redundant or we're too focused on Jesus, we don't talk enough about the issues, Hebrews 12 says we don't need to. Because Hebrews 12 says this amazing thing that when people come in and maybe they're online right now or they're here in the building and their marriage is struggling and they feel like life is weighing them down, maybe it is finances, maybe it is grief, maybe it is greed, maybe it's pornography, maybe it's alcohol, things that can weigh us down, just, you know, trip us up. They come in and is there any hope for that? Hebrews 12 says every time yes. Every time there's hope, but we have to fix our attention on Jesus. Not add Jesus into our equation. Not go, maybe he's a flavor we can add to our recipe. Maybe he's an occasional thing I can go to. It says when you fix your eyes on Jesus. When you seek first the kingdom above all else. When you turn from your ways and say, I'm not going to live life for myself. I'm going to find out, does Jesus really have hope for me? I'll leave my life behind to follow him. Then, what does it say? Sin starts to fall behind us. The things that weighed us down no longer start to weigh us down when we fix our eyes on Jesus. That's what we're banking on every single week here. Every week. It's not an occasional thing for us. Every single week, we are going to call you to fix your eyes on Jesus because he's the one hope for the world. Jesus had this crazy thing he taught us all. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one is coming to the Father except through me. He didn't leave a lot of room for interpretation in there. And so every single week, we actually believe as a church, there's only one hope for the world, and his name's Jesus. And it may be somebody's one time they come to church. Today may be a day where you came to church, and you haven't been in a while. Maybe it's the first time you've been in church in a decade or ever. And we want to be really clear with you, we actually believe these scriptures. That whatever you walked in here today with, whatever's burdening your heart, your soul, your mind, you're wondering, is there any hope? You're feeling overwhelmed, you're feeling anxious, you're feeling burdened, or maybe you feel like that sin is just always going to own you. We want to tell you, if this is our one chance, that if you fix your eyes on Jesus, and seek first above all else the kingdom of God, God will provide what you need. Not occasionally seek, not once in a while, but every day fix your eyes on Jesus. We're going to have a kingdom focus here. And because of that kingdom focus, it leads us into our second value, which is bodybuilders. If you've been in Vertical, you've probably heard this phrase before, but one of our values is we're bodybuilders, and we seek to champion one another in the faith not just at Vertical, but all Bible-believing churches. If you've been here for a while, you've probably heard us. We pray for other Bible-believing churches every Sunday. We look to pray for them, whether it's in our teams or communities or sometimes from the pulpit, we'll pray for other Bible-believing churches. And I think sometimes people think that's like our shtick, like that's our thing. And here's the thing, it's not our shtick, it's Scripture. Like John 17, look at this. John 17, this is Jesus talking, by the way. John 17, verse 20 says, I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I'm in you. And may they be in us so that the world believes you sent me. I've given them the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. I'm in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. That doesn't sound like a suggestion from Jesus. Jesus doesn't look down and go, I pray that Vertical Church experiences unity while maybe other churches are hurting. I didn't see our name in there. Jesus said, for all who believe, I pray that they may experience perfect unity. It's not a shtick for us. We believe that this was deeply important to Jesus. It's one of the final things he's praying with his disciples before he's arrested and crucified for our sins. It's the one of the final things that's just burdening his heart. One of the things that he is just desiring to see is this unity between the believers, because he knows at some point there's going to be this competition between us, this division between us. The reality is maybe not you, but somebody else. If such and such church closed their doors, I'd kind of be happy. I've been around church long to know that exists. Why would we ever celebrate a church Jesus died on the cross to buy closing their doors? Church competition is straight from the pits of hell. And one of our values here is we're not going to look to just build our body of believers here at Vertical Church. We're going to look to serve and love the body of Christ, which is other Bible-believing churches. This isn't something that's just a suggestion for us here. It's like what we deeply value. It's something that is going to make us who we are. One of the things I think has led us to church competition is actually one of the greatest blessings from God, that you and I get to live in this country. I truly believe getting to live in this country is a blessing. I'm grateful to the Lord for allowing me to live in this country. I love this country. I'm thankful for the men and women who serve in our military to give us freedom. I'm thankful that the Lord allowed me to come to church today and there's no threat of me being arrested as a church leader and drug off and you never see me again. But here's the thing, some other churches do face that. Do you think the churches in Iran have church competition? Do you think the churches in China have church competition? Or do you think they're working together because they know this may be the last week we get to meet together because the government may find us? See, when we lose the freedom to go to church or take it casually, I don't think there's any more competition. There's a love and respect and a unity of working together because we're all on the same team. But I think sometimes maybe the freedom to go from church and here and there, and it's just a casual thing that we treat like a hobby sometimes, we don't value it as much. And we've taken a blessing from the Lord and allowed the enemy to come in and stir something up like church competition. I tell you right now, God's doing something in North Georgia. He's doing something in North Georgia. I've not met a single pastor up here who is not willing to stop and pray with me. I've not met a single pastor up here who is not willing to stop and encourage me. And when God's bringing that kind of unity between the pastors, it's going to affect the churches. We're going to stop seeing church competition between people. We're going to start seeing churches come together and go, hey, actually, if we'll work together, maybe the world around us will see what Jesus was praying for. That the world will actually see that Jesus was sent from the Father when churches start to work together. And it's happening. And it's coming quickly. But if we're going to be who God is calling us to be, one of our values is to be a bodybuilder. We're going to pray for unity. We're going to work together. See, we want to see revival. And the way we kind of define revival is revival takes us from complacent Christianity to compelling Christianity. Revival is a move of God that society cannot ignore. It's a move of God society doesn't want to ignore. When people start to see a move of God, it is attractive, in case you're wondering. People are still looking for hope nowadays. People want to know, is there something I can trust in besides myself? Because I've been trusting in myself, and it's not working. As Christians, like, do we not remember that? How do you become a Christian if you don't get to that point? How do you become a Christian if you cannot confess to the point, I cannot trust in myself, I need to trust in Jesus Christ? Have we lost that? Because people still feel like that. Like, as someone who struggled with addiction, I remember feeling like something owned me and I was looking for hope. As someone who's wrestled with depression before, like, I've looked in those moments, like, is there anything else I can hope in besides myself? And every time the answer ended up being Jesus. Seek first the kingdom above all else. Look to live right before the Lord, and God will give you what you need. And so for us as a church, like, a kingdom focus matters so much because there's hope for this world. It's not found in Washington. It's not found in politics. It's not found in money. The hope for the world is still Jesus Christ. And we're not going to shy away from that. And we're going to work with other Bible-believing churches. And you may go, that's a really vague term. Like, what is Bible-believing? It usually essentially always comes down to, do they still believe sin is sin? Do they still believe sin is sin? Because if you try to start cutting out parts of the Bible to avoid sin, and you start diminishing the despair and depravity of sin, you'll start diminishing the power of the cross. Like, to have both, you have to acknowledge both. You have to acknowledge the depths and despair and depravity of sin and the brokenness it leads us to. Because once you get to there and can acknowledge that, you can start to maybe grasp what it meant for Jesus to love us enough and come die on a cross in spite of that sin. They have to go together. You can't have one without the other, because as soon as you start to diminish sin, you start to make Jesus look like a fool that he would ever die on the cross for us. What's the point if sin's not sin? So a lot of times it's, do we still agree sin is sin? Do we still agree, like, Jesus should be the focus? Because if you look around, you'll find something to disagree with. You'll find something to disagree with. We're not looking to try to find what we can disagree with other churches. We're trying to figure out who's the ones who are on the same page that you want to be laser-focused about Jesus. Because if you want to be laser-focused about Jesus, I don't care what your name is. I don't care what your denomination is. If you're going to be laser-focused on Jesus and you're not going to be ashamed of what the Bible calls us to, we can work together. We can work together. And when people start to see churches working together rather than competing, maybe the gospel starts to make more sense. And so for us, we're going to look to kill church competition. It's not something we're going to kind of avoid as a taboo topic. It's not something we're going to pretend doesn't exist. We're going to acknowledge that it can, and we're going to look to proactively kill church competition. And we'll do it by serving other churches, loving them, praying for them, believing for a move of God at their church too. Because this is not about vertical church. It's still and always will be about Jesus Christ. And so for us, these are things we value deeply. And as we look to close out, I want us to pray together. And I don't want us to rush this moment. So I just want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Not because that's super spiritual, but it helps us sometimes focus. And in this moment, for us to be who God's calling us to be, to have a kingdom focus, to seek first the kingdom and to live right before the Lord, to believe he's going to give us everything we need. If we're going to say we're going to be people who fix our eyes on Jesus, if we're going to be people who say we're bodybuilders and are seeking unity, here's some things that cannot exist in our life. Unforgiveness toward other churches or Christians. I know that whether it's online or here today, there's some people who you have been hurt by church. Churches have done something that has absolutely wronged you, and it's still a wound you carry. But if we're going to be bodybuilders and kingdom-focused, We have to be willing to forgive. We have to be willing to forgive if we're going to be bodybuilders. It's really hard to pray for God to bless a church that you won't forgive. Maybe you've come in today and you realize, I've actually wronged another church. And I need to ask God to forgive me. I've been carrying bitterness in my heart against another church, and I need to ask God to forgive me of that. And I'm going to lead us through a prayer. If you want, you can just very quietly follow along with me. But I'm going to lead us through a prayer that will help us walk toward being kingdom-focused and bodybuilders. Repeat after me just very quietly if you want to. King Jesus, I come before you, and I want to align with you. At points in my life, other churches and people have hurt me. They've let me down. I have felt betrayed. But I know that doesn't align with you. And even their sin does not reflect you, Jesus. But I want to reflect you, Jesus. I want to seek your kingdom above all. I want to fix my eyes on you, Jesus. And I want to be one who seeks unity. So I come before you, King Jesus, and I forgive that other church. I forgive that other person. I won't hold things in my heart against them. And I need your help to let it go. And Jesus, if I've done anything to hurt another church or person, please forgive me. I don't want to hurt your church. I want to help bring unity, just like you prayed for. So, King Jesus, bring healing into my life, and then use me to bring healing between churches. King Jesus, lead me. So Holy Spirit, I pray right now, come and work in people's lives. Give them wisdom, give them courage, give them boldness. I pray that your peace will reside. I pray that you'll begin speaking words of clarity right now into people's lives in the name of Jesus. I pray that we'll have ears to hear, God. Let us not close things up. Let us not turn things away. Let us say, God, I want you to work through me. In order for that to happen, I may need healing. So pour that out right now in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you'll even go after those wounds and things we've tried to keep from you. Bring those before the Lord right now. Don't hold on to those. Those are not your identity in Christ. Today, right now, the Lord can bring healing and restoration if we'll allow him. Don't you hold that back from him. Don't be too proud to ask for God to forgive you if you've done something wrong. As we close out, maybe you want to come out front, you want to pray, seek the Lord here at the altar. Maybe you want to work with our prayer team. They're in the back right now. They've got green lanterns. They would love to pray with you and encourage you. But man, our time is now. We can't hold on to hurts and old things. We've got to come before the Lord and follow his word. And it calls us to focus on Jesus above all. It calls us to seek unity between Bible-believing churches and work together so that people will know Jesus was sent by the Father. So Holy Spirit, this time is yours. Holy Spirit, this time is yours. Come work in our lives. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen and amen.